Hello and welcome to All Indians Matter. I'm Ashraf Engineer. Stress levels at the workplace are through the roof as business gets tougher and pressure on employees to deliver stretches them to breaking point. Recent statistics show that 80% of the Indian workforce has reported mental health issues, and globally, 15% of working age adults live with a mental disorder. This has all sorts of manifestations such as depression as well as rising incidence of heart attacks and strokes. The good news is that there are very serious conversations happening about this, and businesses, big and small, are taking steps to mitigate what many believe is a crisis. Work should come with the expectation of a safe and healthy working environment. Employment can positively impact mental health, but it can also contribute to its deterioration. So promoting mental well-being in the workplace is not only possible, but essential.
All Indians Matter.
We have on the show Abha Dandekar, founder and CEO of Elephant in the Room. She set up this initiative to address mental well-being in the workplace, combat stigma, and foster open conversations about mental health. In addition to this, Abha serves as the co-founder and HR lead at the Raintree Family Office and Raintree Foundation. Her previous experience encompasses corporate HR roles. She has an MBA from Bayes Business School and an MSc in Human Resource Management and Consulting from the University of Bath. Welcome, Abha.
Thank you so much, Ashraf, and thank you for having me.
Abha, work-related stress is not a new phenomenon, but it has come into the spotlight relatively recently. Why is this time, so much more stressful?
The recent increase in work-related stress can really be attributed to a number of different factors. Lately, there has been heightened job demands due to remote work. Post-COVID, a lot of companies have, turned into hybrid workforces or remote work. And what this is doing is it's blurring boundaries between personal and professional life. So this compounded with an increased workload, compounded with concerns about job security, increasing uncertainties of the future of where jobs are going. All of this has collectively really raised stresses at work. And I think this whole concept of staying always switched on due to, the intrusion of Slack, Zoom, multiple things, emails. Employees need to be constantly responsive now, and that has really exacerbated the problem as well.
That's right. But Abha, is there something about the contemporary work environment that is raising stress levels?
Yes, I think in the contemporary work environment, work is quicker, it's more fast-paced, there is intensified competition, there are rapid changes in job roles as well. And what COVID really did is it forced companies and employees to rethink the nature of their work. And this means that there was a big shift in expectations in the way people work, in what they're expected to do, and also in terms of how much burden of work people are expected to pull into their personal lives as well. And all these things have really led to an increase in stress because, there is uncertainty, there is greater pressure, and people are also feeling a lack of autonomy in their work. And this creates a feeling of irritation, of frustration, and a sense of helplessness. And all these factors really come together to increase stress levels when it comes to work.
Yeah, and I think Abha, also corporate culture sometimes glorifies people working 18 hours a day, staying late in office, working over the weekends and so on. How did this come about, and do you think that's changing for the better?
So the glorification of overwork and longer work hours in corporate culture often stems from the perception that working longer hours equates to a perception of higher dedication, it equates to higher productivity and higher commitment to the job. And this may have roots in historical context as well, where longer hours were synonymous with hard work and success. More these days with technology, like I said, the always on mentality is glorified, and people are expected to be immediately on top of things. However, that being said, there is a growing awareness and acknowledgement of the detrimental effects of overwork on mental health, well-being, and overall productivity, really. Many organizations are now adopting more flexible work policies. They are starting to promote work-life balance, and they're emphasizing output now rather than the hours spent at work, and encouraging employees to take breaks and prioritize their well-being. This shift does indicate a changing attitude towards work culture, and it does acknowledge the importance of a balanced lifestyle as well for mental and physical health. We recently at Raintree introduced comfort leaves as a leave category, where employees are allotted a certain number of days they can take off every year. And these leaves, people can avail of, no questions asked. And the reason we did this is we really want to enable self-care and to provide for those days when people are feeling vulnerable and are unable to engage with the world or unable to participate and contribute to work. We recognize that those days exist, and that's why we introduce comfort leaves as a policy to allow people to take those days off when they need them, really.
Yeah. And so, Abha, you know, this brings me to a question I must ask about the most recent debate sparked by Infosys co-founder N.R. Narayan Murthy's suggestion that the youth work 70 hours a week. Now, he was supported mainly by other business owners, but also criticized by people across the board, from doctors to regular employees. What's your stand on it?
In my opinion, maintaining a healthy work-life balance is crucial for overall well-being. And honestly, while hard work and dedication are commendable, excessively long work hours can lead to burnout and they negatively impact mental health and productivity. I think achieving a balance between work and personal life really allows individuals to recharge, to be more efficient at work, and to lead fulfilling lives both at work and outside the office. Prioritizing mental health and advocating for reasonable working hours, according to me, is essential for long-term success and well-being. And, you know, additionally, a mentally healthy individual also tends to be more, tends to be a more productive employee in the workplace because they're more resilient to daily stressors at home and at work. So there is less spillover into work. And this generally leads to an increase in productivity and output.
Absolutely. And stress can lead to harmful physical and emotional responses, as you said, especially when there is a conflict between job demands and the amount of control the employee has over meeting those demands. Specifically, personal relationships, what sort of effect does all this have on them?
When a person experiences stress due to conflicts between job demands and also the control they have over meeting those demands, it does, you know, of course, affect their personal relationships. Heightened stress levels, you know, lead to emotional strain, they lead to irritability, and they also, very importantly, lead to a reduced capacity to communicate effectively. And all these things, you know, the strain that these that work can put on and these effects as a result of work stress can spill over into personal relationships and cause tensions, misunderstandings. And it makes it difficult to manage interactions with family, with friends, with colleagues, and, you know, all other dimensions of your personal sphere of life. And also, you know, persistent stress can result in emotional exhaustion. And this reduces one's ability to engage positively in relationships. And this leads to an increase in conflicts and an increase in strain in both professional and personal spheres. I think implementing changes in company policies can significantly benefit employees. Reduced working hours do offer a better work-life balance, and this enables employees and individuals really to nurture personal relationships and also fostering open conversations, which has, you know, shown to have a positive effect on overall employee well-being.
Could you talk about a case that you've come across in your work that stands out?
So we have had employees in the past who have struggled with their mental health. There was one person in particular who stands out because she had returned to work after a long absence due to medical reasons. So she had to take a few, you know, 5-7 years out of work due to medical reasons. And the return to a working environment had caused her to have, you know, she used to have panic attacks at work. And for the longest time, we didn't realize what was happening because she would hide herself away because she was hesitant to share the fact that she needed accommodation for her mental health. And more importantly, she was fearful of disclosing how stressful the return to work was for her because she feared backlash and she feared that this would negatively impact her job. So it really took some amount of communication and reassurance from our end for her to open up and talk about the issues while she's facing. And that, you know, it also took some time for us to understand that while she has the intent to work, there are some days when it gets overwhelming for her and she simply cannot work and requires a timeout. Eventually, we were able to work something out where we could create a safe space for her, where she could create timeout where take a timeout where required. And we also then set very clear weekly goals with her by collaborating with her to see what was achievable and to set very clear expectations so that there was clarity and this reduced the impact of her panic attacks to a certain extent. But my point is that this, you know, all this accommodation that we could do for her only came about because of dialogue. And that really drives home the point that there is an urgent need to create open dialogue and communication about mental health at work. Because only then can, you know, people open up about their mental health and ask for accommodation where needed. And organizations can also take proactive measures to make sure organizational goals are met while still looking at the employee as an individual with their own individual needs.
Absolutely. And as I said earlier, 80% of the Indian workforce has reported mental health issues. And to me, this sounds like epidemic level incidents. And, I think you already answered the question to some extent, but if you could elaborate on, are we really talking enough about it?
Oh, the prevalence of mental health issues, within the Indian workforce is very concerning. And while conversations around mental health have increased in recent years, post-COVID, people are more aware of mental health as a topic. There is still a significant gap between the level of awareness and the actual discussion happening about mental health challenges in the workplace. And some progress has been made in destigmatizing mental health issues, but there is still a lot of ground left to cover in promoting open dialogues and in workplaces providing adequate support systems. We really need more comprehensive and sustained conversations around mental health, with organizations walking the talk with initiatives that prioritize mental health education, support, and providing resources in workplaces. I recently read a report in the WHO and a report by Deloitte, which said that India accounts for nearly 15% of the global mental health burden. And that's a very scary statistic. And the Deloitte report, Deloitte did a survey around mental health and well-being in the workplace, where they compiled insights from about 4,000 employees. And the survey did a deep dive into the top stressors at work from an employee's perspective. But one very key takeaway from this report is that they estimated that the yearly economic cost to Indian companies arising from poor employee mental health amounted to 110,000 crore rupees last year. So we really do need to address mental health at the workplace, and we need to look at how we can work on workplace well-being, because it's becoming a very key component of business strategy and HR strategy. And in the same report, they found that societal stigma prevents around 39% of the affected respondents from taking steps to manage their symptoms. And this, again, is a very scary number. So we really do need to very actively work on mental health at work.
Yeah, it's quite staggering. But do you think that enough workplaces are understanding this and taking corrective measures?
Despite some progress, there still is a critical need for heightened awareness and decisive action regarding mental health in workplaces. And while some companies are acknowledging the impact of stress and demands on their employees, and few of them are implementing measures, it's not being universally adopted and prioritized across all sectors, and work on employee mental health is still largely segregated. It's not an integrated push for a comprehensive, transformation towards workplace well-being. Many workplaces still have to fully comprehend the adverse effects of, these stressors and pressures on their employees' mental well-being. And so more concerted efforts are necessary to create a culture of empathy, of support, and for the organization to take proactive measures to safeguard the mental health of their workforce. Honestly, awareness isn't enough. It's the concerted, continuous actions that will really make a difference in fostering a mentally healthier workplace.
Absolutely. And I think what I've noticed, at least in my years in the corporate space, is that such things are left to HR. But in my view, this is something that the entire leadership needs to be cognizant of and do something about. What's your view?
Oh, absolutely. Mental health cannot be the sole responsibility of HR. While HR is a very critical driver of workplace well-being, it is a collective obligation that demands attention from every level of leadership within an organization. Leadership, it sets the tone for workplace culture and norms. And when leaders prioritize mental health, it sends a very powerful message to the organization. And this can be a very effective tool in destigmatizing mental health concerns and in encouraging open conversations and creating those support networks within an organization so people feel like the organization is fostering their mental health. We have seen this in Raintree as well, because Raintree was founded by my mom, my younger brother and I. And all three of us have been very open about our journey with mental health and the fact that we have been users of mental health and psychiatric services. We still use them. If we have good days, if we have bad days, we are very open about them. And we found that because we are so open to talking about our mental health at work, because we feel no shame in it, it is a fact of our lives the same way anything else is a fact and a part of our lives. We have found that people at our workplace have also become more comfortable talking about mental health and discussing it openly and asking for help when needed and talking about the help that they're getting so that the people around them understand what their situation is, what their circumstances, and what are the stressors that they're going through in their life. Ultimately, you know, every leader's awareness and proactive involvement are crucial in fostering a safe and supportive work environment for all employees. And, you know, I mean, there was a study done, which I read recently in the paper, and 79% of employees put the role of leadership on top when it comes to the factors affecting their mental health at work. And I think this really drives home the point. Leaders need to walk the talk, and then that, you know, drills it down to the last level of the company culture.
Absolutely. Abba, let's put ourselves in the employee's shoes for a second. If at all you are facing very high stress levels, what can you as an employee do to take care of yourself?
So managing stress requires recognizing what your personal stressors are, and then employing effective coping mechanisms for them. And this differs from person to person. And at the end of the day, your self-care techniques have to be aligned with your interests. So for me, for example, spending time with my pets is an instant stress reliever. You know, I go home, I play with my dogs. I have a fish pond here, so I spend time staring at my fish, which really, you know, helps me empty my mind. It's a form of meditation for me.
Yeah.
You know, engaging in reading helps me unwind as well. It helps me empty my brain, shed some of the stressors, spend some time immersed in another world. So it's crucial for everyone to find that go-to activity or hobby that provides them with relaxation, you know, in this hectic life that we all lead. And then in addition to that, you know, regular exercise, mindfulness practices, maintaining a balanced diet, making sure you're getting the right nutrition, making sure you are, you know, setting boundaries between work and personal life. And of course, you know, seeking support. Mental health needs caregivers. People need support systems. So be open to talking about your mental health. Ask for the help you need. Ask for the support you need. And build that social support, because that really goes a long way when it comes to dealing with stress. You know, self-care at the end of the day is paramount. And so dedicating time to recharge and focusing on your mental and emotional well-being is critical in managing your stress.
Absolutely. But Abba, there's also a lot of stigma associated around mental health ailments. And if you are suffering from one of them, how do you deal with that additional burden of the stigma?
Honestly, and this is something I say time and time again, the stigma is very difficult, but it needs to, the breaking the stigma needs to start somewhere. And so, you know, the number one step in breaking stigma is being open to talking about mental health. Honestly, open discussions and education on mental health are crucial to breaking down stigma, because it provides accurate information, it dispels myths about mental health. And honestly, if you are open to talking about your own mental health, it does inspire other people as well. And I've seen this in our own lives, because my brother was diagnosed with depression and anxiety when he was in school. And he was very open about his mental health journey. And all of us were very open about, you know, our journey as his caregivers and different times in life when we have used mental health services as well. And we realized that just talking about it openly without acting like you have something to be ashamed of or something to hide is such a powerful tool, because it encourages other people who are going through similar circumstances, you know, who don't have anyone they can talk to, or anyone who understands. It encourages them to come talk to you about it, to open up, to confide. And I found that, you know, between my brother and mother and I, just by talking about it openly, we have managed to send so many people into seeking help and really empowering people to become their own agents of change when it comes to their mental health, and taking charge of getting the help that they need. And so, you know, sharing personal experiences or stories can really humanize the issue, and encourage other people to seek help without fear of judgment. And then this also, you know, helps create safe spaces within your own social circles, within your communities. You know, that's what we're trying to do as well through Open Power of Conversations, create these safe spaces within a workplace so that people are comfortable talking about mental health and asking for the help that they seek. But, you know, ultimately, stigma doesn't solely originate from external sources. So it also depends on the individuals themselves. It is possible to mistakenly perceive your condition as a reflection of your personal weakness or assume that you can manage it independently. But honestly, no one can fight a war alone, right? People need support systems. And so you need to talk about it. You need to be open about it. You need to talk to your caregivers, talk to your, you know, people that you trust, who you know will be there for you. And then, of course, taking it a step further, engaging in counseling, educating yourself about your condition, connecting with individuals who have experienced, you know, similar mental health challenges can help boost your self-esteem. And all these things collectively, you know, it becomes a collective action over time where multiple people are talking about mental health. Multiple people are talking about mental health in a positive manner. And this then, you know, pushes that movement further when it comes to destigmatizing mental health.
What about, I mean, if you as an employee, you are facing undue demands, unreasonable demands, for example, is there legislation that you can turn to?
Yes, there are some legislations that support employees going through mental health issues or facing discrimination due to mental health. The Employee State Insurance Act provides for the health and social security of workers. So employees covered under the scheme have access to medical benefits, including treatment for mental health issues. Then there's also the Mental Health Care Act of 2017, which safeguards the rights of individuals living with mental illness. This act also guarantees access to mental health care and prohibits discriminations against individuals living with mental health conditions across various settings, one of which is, of course, employment. And further to that, you know, depending on where you work, your organization may have corporate policies and programs as well to address mental health in the workplace. A lot of organizations now have employee assistance programs on board. So these are partnerships with companies that offer mental health services. Look to see if your organization has such a tie-up. In that case, you know, you can access mental health services through your workplace itself.
So, Abha, tell us about Elephant in the Room.
Elephant in the Room is an organization that focuses on workplace mental health. We partner with businesses to build mentally healthier workplaces. We do this because we believe that workplace well-being is a key contributor to business success. And like I said earlier, it needs to become a core part of HR strategy. So Elephant in the Room works with corporates across multiple levels to build education and awareness on mental health so that people can really understand the topic and they're empowered to seek help when they need so that they don't have to suffer through mental health issues or crises in silence. So effectively, we work with the organization to create communities of people who are sensitized on mental health. And then we work with the organization itself to help them create safe spaces where employees are able to acknowledge their mental health and also so that they have the confidence in their organization's ability to provide for their needs. So through capacity building and mental health education across different teams and levels and by using a holistic multi-pronged approach, we work with organizations to fuel a cultural transformation towards a more positive, proactive and engaging approach towards employee well-being and mental health.
Right. So what's next for it?
So we have built some offerings. We are currently in the process of building a suite of services that can provide both generalized and bespoke solutions for an organization's well-being needs. We have completed a number of successful engagements with very positive responses. People have appreciated the delivery of our workshops, the structure of our engagement, the structure of our approach. So now we're working to scaling this towards a commercial launch. My dream personally is to reach as many organizations as possible because our work will only have an impact in the workplace. But this knowledge, you know, not only will it have an impact in the workplace, but this knowledge and capacity building that we do with individuals towards building attitudes, better attitudes towards mental health, they also provide life skills that are very important for building resilience and for being able to take better care of one's own mental health. And so therefore, while we do work in corporates, each employee that we educate and empower will become a champion for mental health in their own right. And this will create the multiplier effect that I want to see where they take their learnings from their personal life and then they apply that to their own family and social circles. So I think this will become very powerful because what they, you know, what they learn at work when it comes to mental health, they can really take home and really expand their sphere of influence when it comes to becoming a safe space for mental health and taking care of one's own mental health and those around you.
So Abha, here's a question I ask all my guests at the end of the show. Why do you do this work?
I truly believe in the need to empower people and to build, to empower people to build agency and to really take action on their own mental health. And this can only happen through understanding and education. Like we discussed earlier, the mental health crisis can be considered a pandemic. And I really want to work on the social movement that's required to open conversations around mental health. I want to change the discourse around mental health. I want to change the way people approach it. And this can only happen through building education, dispelling myths and stigmas around mental health, and helping people understand their own mental health and what mental health actually means. I have experienced the power of openly talking about mental health myself. and owning my own mental health journey and my struggles. Like I said, I've been a user of mental health services. I've been a caregiver for people who use mental health services. And so over the years, I realized the only way we can move the needle on people's attitudes is by owning our own journey and experiences and by not thinking that we have something to hide. So we really need a complete paradigm shift in how we view mental health so that we can work more proactively towards better resilience and mental health care for all. And that's really what motivates me and drives me to do what I do. I want more people to act on their own mental health, and I want to create a world that's safer for people to act on their mental health. And so, you know, the journey to that starts with education, and that's what fuels me.
Abha, thanks so much for being on the show, and thanks also for the candor about your own personal experiences.
Thank you so much, Ashraf. Hopefully, we can all work together to build a world that's mentally healthier and to build a world where we all talk about our mental health very openly, very candidly, and really own our own journeys.
Thank you all for listening. Please visit allindiansmatter.in, that's allindiansmatter.in, for more columns and audio podcasts. You can follow me on Twitter at Ashraf Engineer, that's ASHRAFENGINEER, and All Indians Count, that's ALLINDIANSCOUNT. Search for the All Indians Matter page on Facebook. On Instagram, the handle is All Indians Matter. Email me at editor@allindiansmatter.in. Catch you again soon.